Today, I want to bring a message that I just have entitled, What Do You Do With a Burden? What do you do with a burden? Let me pray and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three, draw us deeper into intimacy of the triune God. Gather us gladly into the diversity of your great family. And teach us today how to bear our burdens in the ways that you have instructed us in your word. Amen. You know, today I'm mindful that we carry into this room a variety of burdens that we have in our common humanity. And this bag of stones I'm using to exemplify some of these burdens that we often carry. And so, this is a heavy bag. We had the burden of sin. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great German pastor who gave his life faithfulness to the kingdom of God, he said something about sin once that has always stuck with me. He said, carrying our sin alone for a Christian is one of the loneliest places in all the world if we're bearing our sin alone. But it need not be. That's a self-imposed prison, but it is a burden that we bear. And then the burden of sickness, all manner of sickness, COVID, cancer, all manners of diseases and maladies. Interpersonal conflicts and burdens, marriages with children, with family members, with colleagues. These are burdens that we sometimes bear. Here's a big one. Our nation, the United States. You know, as I go through this litany, what is it that is on your heart and on your mind? I think a lot about right now about our nation, especially as election is cropping up. And I think of our country and how polarized we are, of how moral and spiritual, like confusion, misinformation. I think of our country and I think of what Isaiah said, that truth has perished in the streets. We don't know what's true. Misinformation that abounds. And I feel like our country, I just, in all my 62 years of life, I've never felt as our country in such a fragile place. It's a burden for our country. And then you broaden it out to our world, you know, just the world in general. I mean, we hear the news and it's true what Romans says, what Paul says in Romans, that the earth is groaning as in pains of childbirth. And even in my work, the work with the refugees, it's a testament that our world needs a savior. And then the burden for the Church of Jesus Christ. Carry a burden for the church. You know, that we would not contribute to the problem of our nation and world, but that we would be a beacon of light and a beacon of that makes sense in a culture of nonsense, and that the church would be true. And we would be known for things that are worthy, that we are to be known for, that represent the kingdom of God, that transforms and transcends the partisan rancor in our world, that we would be known for how we serve our world. And so the burden for the church, that the church would not be corrupted, but the church would be true to the kingdom. And then our callings and our tasks that God has called us to, we carry that burden too. That we want to serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord faithfully. That God has given us a sense of calling. That he's given us things to do and tasks to do, like my work with refugees. And I carry the burden of my refugee friends who I know. And as I hear their stories and hear what they've gone through, and that's a burden. And then the burden of being able to respond to them and care for them and help them to move in a place of just surviving into a place where they can embrace their dreams at making the world a better place as well. And so many other burdens that we could add to this bag. It can be overwhelming, can it not? How do we not get overwhelmed with the burdens of our day and paralyzed by them? Has anybody ever struggled with that? I mean, on some days. See, Lord, it can be overwhelming. How do we not become paralyzed by it? I got to start with just something that's helped me. This is very practical. This is not the Bible. This is a guy named Stephen Covey, and I've asked my friends back there in the booth to put up an image. Before looking at that, let me help you to imagine this in this way. If you drew a big circle, and you just started listing all of the concerns and burdens that you have in a bullet point fashion all over that circle, within that circle of concern, there would be areas that you would have control over and influence over, and then there would be areas that you would not have. There would be stuff that would just be out of your control and out of my control. And this image shows about if we are dominated by our circle of concern and our circles of concern and not by those areas that we have some control and influence over, our circle of influence can shrink. This is kind of one image. When we stay within our circles of concerns, all those concerns, and we do what we can do in our realm of control and influence, we actually can increase our influence and impact our world of concern if we stay in that. But there's another way of looking at it, which is another way. We can become overwhelmed with the concerns and fixated on things and just stew and become anxious and worry about and think about all of the things that could go wrong and just become just overwhelmed. And when we allow that to happen, actually our circle of influence can shrink. And so just a way to think about it, with all of the burdens and all the concerns that we carry, asking God to show us, Lord, what are the things that where I can bear influence and that I have control and that I can create an island of sanity in a world of chaos, you know? And let me focus on that. And then there's one other slide here that just gives another kind of way of looking at it. And this just shows you three circles. The inner circle is your circle of control. The middle circle is your circle of influence. And your outer circle is your circle of concern. And it lists some of the kinds of things that you might find in those various circles. And so just to kind of ponder that in terms of not becoming overwhelmed, but focusing on what God has asked us to do, even if it seems small, and if we bear our focus on the things that we can bear influence on, it will increase our influence and being salt and light in a world in a sea of concern. So I just open with that because it's something that's been helpful to me. But even more helpful than this guy who created that, Stephen Covey, we want to hear what the word of the Lord says about what do we do with our burdens? And I want to go to Galatians 6 as starting off. Galatians 6, and I'll just read verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own action. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. So this verse has two references to burdens or loads. And the context here in Galatians is dealing with sin and the burden of sin, and people, specifically people who have been caught in sin. But I believe that we can also broaden out the application of this verse beyond just sin. I mean, sin literally means missing the mark. And there are many ways that the missing of mark is demonstrated in our lives and in our world. There are a variety of ways that that happens. And so if we broaden out the idea of burdens, the kinds of things that we've described here in our shared common experience, this section of Scripture gives us two ideas that we are to do with our burdens. In verse 2 and 5, it says in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5 says, for each one should carry their own load. Now, you read those two verses, and they seem to be a little bit at odds or tension, right? Do we carry one another's burden? Do we carry our own load? And the answer is yes. But it's actually interesting because there are two different Greek words that are used in each of those verses. In verse 5, where it says each one must carry their own load, the Greek word there is a word that was used for like a backpack, our personal pack. And so that's saying that there are certain things that God has given us to do, to carry, that we cannot place on someone else. That he has given each of us a certain area of responsibility in bearing of burdens that he has asked us to bear. And there is a certain part of that that we cannot offload to anyone else. We need to be aware of what it is that God has given us to carry with his grace. That's the backpack, the personal pack. But the other image in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, the Greek word there is actually a word that was used for like a mule pack. And this is a pack that is impossible for any one human being to carry on his or her own. And those packs are the kinds of packs that we need, those burdens that we need one another to help carry those loads, because those loads are too much. So we see these two things. We carry the burden the Lord specifically has given us to carry, and then we carry each other's burdens for those things that are too heavy for us to bear alone. So with just those two ideas, let's put some application. You know, we're all called to pursue a life of holiness, to live a consecrated life of holiness and purity. But we really can't do that. We each have a responsibility to it, but we can't do it on our own. A verse that's become very important to me in this area is the verse James 5:16. I call it one of the most unpracticed verses in the Bible. You know what James 5:16 says? I don't have it on the screen, but it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Part of our sin management in the world is not only does the Lord bear our sin burden, but we also can bear one another's sin burdens and pray for one another and live a transparent life where we are accountable to one another and we help one another and we pray for one another. But we need to be willing to share that with others. And I'll tell you why this is very important to me in my own story. When I was in Boston, I was pastoring in Boston as a young kid in my 20s. I came with a team to do church planting. And a year and a half into the work, the lead guy in our effort, and I'm really sorry I have to like tell the story that represents some failure, but the lead person in our team had moral failure. And that's kind of code for, you know, he had sexual indiscretion. And he called me as a young leader. I was 25, 26 years old. And said, call my wife and tell her that I'm gone. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on him. And he succumbed to temptation. He was dealing with stuff, but nobody knew it. And it all kind of tumbled out. And then you have the fallout of all of that. And so at the age of 26, I was asked to lead this team in this church planting endeavor. But as I saw the fallout of that, I also then thought, this is a heavy load that I'm being asked to carry as a young man. And I was very aware of my own brokenness as I entered into that. And I just saw what happened to our team leader, what happened to him and his family and the church and all the fallout of that. And I said, man, I've got to put a hedge of protection around my life because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be another person. And over my years of ministry in Boston, I've seen a lot of people crash and burn, unfortunately. And I've reflected on what were some of the common things. And one of the common things is that brothers or sisters who are not walking in safe, transparent, accountable relationships. And so I pledged early on as a 26-year-old man to get help. When I was a kid, I was sexually abused by multiple people. And as I entered into adulthood and into my ministry and my marriage, I realized I'd never totally unpacked that. I'd never unpacked that with God and with trusted others. And when I stood on that threshold of being asked to lead this team at 26 years old, I sought counseling. And from that point on, I made a commitment over the years to always be walking with one or two brothers that I'm bringing the things that I'm dealing with that are even shameful things, things that I'm really struggling with or tempted in. And so over the past few decades, I've always had one or two guys. This month, there's a guy that I meet with every month. And I think that's like normal Christianity. We all need to be doing that. In this crooked and depraved world that we live in, we need one another. We certainly need the Lord, but we need one another. And so I share that story with you to illustrate bearing one another's burdens, being responsible. And then sickness. I mean, many of you, I'm sure, that are facing sickness yourself or in your family. I recently had my first bout with COVID, and it was a doozy. It knocked me out of commission for a couple of weeks, and I still feel the effects of it, and some of you that have been through that. When I was in the first week of COVID, I couldn't sleep, I was miserable, and I was locked in isolation in our bedroom on the third floor. But my wife, it was wonderful. I texted her late one night, and I just said, honey, I'm so grateful that I'm not doing this on my own. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for helping me. And what a gift it is to have people in our times of need, when we're sick, that we have people who can support us. As I thought at this point, I thought of a family who came to our church. I'm a part of Mount Hope Community Church in Belmont, and we had a young couple who came to us from Africa, and they had been struggling for a few years trying to conceive a child. And this was kind of right in the middle of COVID. But we had a time 1 week where we kind of braved the elements. We all masked up and circled up in a prayer circle. And we were able to share our burdens with one another. And this couple, they told about this burden that they have. And there was another person in our congregation, another brother, who really felt the Lord impress him to pray for the child that was in this mother's womb. It's a pretty bold thing, you know? And, you know, you don't do those things lightly, right? Because you do it and bring hopes up or whatever, but he really felt a prophetic unction. And they went home and did a pregnancy test, and she was pregnant. And we've received that baby into our community. But to me, it was a beautiful example of them bringing this burden and the community coming around and God showing up and having people to walk with in our infirmities. And then in our mission, in our ministry that God has called us to, in our calling and the task that he's called us to do. And so for me, in our ministry to refugees, these are not faceless, nameless, storyless people. They're people like my friend Amin, who ended up settling about a block from our local church. We brokered with a landlord and owner who opened their home and has made provision at a lower cost rate for this family from Afghanistan. And one day I was riding with Amin, and he just started telling the story about his exit out of Afghanistan, and he just began weeping and saying, you know, Greg, I left at least 60 people back in Afghanistan of my extended family, and I don't know why I was able to get through. And he told me about the day, and you saw on the news the chaos in the airport. And he said, my brother worked for the U.S. military, and we lived with him. And so we were there, and he was there with his infant daughter. And when tear gas was shot into the crowd, and the little baby got tear gas in his eyes, and so his brother left to try to tend to the baby. And while he was gone, the gate opened. And Amin and his wife and his two children were able to get through the gate. But this brother who worked for the U.S. government and his family and, you know, the 60 other family members that were there pressing at the gate were all left behind. And Amin shared this with me and, you know, began weeping. He says, I'm hearing about people in Afghanistan that are selling their children because the conditions are on the ground. They can't provide for their kids. And he said, who would sell their children? And this is the burden of individuals who are coming to us here to the United States, that we have an opportunity to minister to provide a cataluma for God to show up and to minister to them through his people. But I cannot do the ministry to refugees alone. This has to be a collective thing where we bear the burden of people like Amin together. And thank you for bearing the burden with me to help me to be present in this field. And then I thought of this in this thing of partnering in mission. I thought of Freedom Hill, and I often appreciate this church. I mean, I've known this church for many years, back when Pastor Steve was here and all that. And I think of how Freedom Hill has provided a cataluma for these congregations, right? The Congolese congregation, the Ethiopian congregation, and the other congregations that meet here. And in my work in intercultural ministries, I often will refer to Freedom Hill when I'm talking to other churches. What you guys are doing in making this place useful beyond just this local congregation, you know, this place is being used for the kingdom of God. This is not to be taken lightly or for granted. And I just want to commend you for making room as part of your mission here locally. And that I can point people to your direction. Even last week, there was a sister pastor who's called me, and she's partnering with an African church, and they're thinking of merging. And she said, can you point me to any other churches that have partnered together in this way? And I told them about Freedom Hill, and he said, I would love to talk to the pastor there or somebody there to hear about what their experience has been like. As I commend you for doing that work and bearing the burdens of your fellow congregation. So what do you do with burdens? One, we carry the load We carry the load that we alone are called to carry. We assume the responsibility that God has asked of us that we cannot push on over to somebody else. And we bear one another's burdens to demonstrate the love of the law of Christ. And then thirdly, in Psalm 55:22, we read about a third thing that we're to do with our burdens. And it says here, cast your cares, another translation, your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. First Peter is very similar, verse 5 and 7. It says, cast your cares, your anxieties, your worries, all your concerns on him because he cares for you. We were never meant to carry these burdens alone without the help of our triune God. We need the reassuring love of the Father. We need the persevering, faithful example of the Son and his atoning, burden-bearing work on our behalf. We need the guiding, empowering of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus prepared to ascend back into heaven, he told his disciples as he sent them out on commission to go to all the nations, to proclaim the gospel to all peoples. But he did it with a promise. He was leaving physically, but he said, I'm going to send another like me, the paraclete, the one who will come alongside you and will walk with you as you do this work in the world. You are not doing it alone. We cannot do it alone. Or in the imagery of another place where Jesus talked about that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are a branch. We need to embrace our branchiness, right? We are not less than a branch. We are not more than a branch. We are a branch that has a function to do, but the branch without being attached to the vine, we can never do. We will not bear the fruit that we are called to bear unless we remain attached to him. And I close with this one last verse from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, because I go back to it time and time and time again. It's just Jesus' words, very familiar probably to many of you, where Jesus said to his disciples and to us, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, another translation, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes when I'm feeling heavy laden and weighted down, I go to this verse for guidance and recalibration and realignment. There are basically three things that it says. It says, come unto me. The Lord invites us to come unto him. And when we are heavy, when I am heavy, I have to say, Lord, am I heavy because I haven't come to you to spend time in your presence, to find rest in your presence? He invites us to come. Are we hearing his voice and responding to his voice to come? And then he said, and take my yoke upon you. Of course, the yoke that he has in mind is that yoke that goes over an oxen or a team of oxen, that wooden piece. And Jesus grew up in the carpenter shop, and perhaps he saw his father, earthly father Joseph, make these things. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And one thing that I thought about this is a lot of times when I'm heavy, it's maybe because I'm carrying a yoke that wasn't fashioned by Jesus for me, that I placed on myself or somebody else has placed on me. And part of us getting free is to make sure that we have Jesus' yoke that he's crafted and not one that was placed on us by our parents or by somebody else or by ourselves. Sometimes we're heavy because we're wearing the wrong yoke. And so part of this process is taking off those false yokes and making sure that we're wearing the yoke that the Lord has fashioned for us. And then he says, and learn of me. The way that a team of oxen were trained was that you may have a younger ox that was paired with a stronger, more mature ox. And the more mature ox would, as a yoke fellow, would train the younger ox how to carry this load. And that's what the Lord has promised to be for us. And sometimes when I'm heavy, I'm saying, Lord, I feel confident I have the right yoke on. But sometimes it's because I'm not consulting him on how to carry this thing properly. And I'm forgetting that he's beside me as the more seasoned ox, right? Who's showing me, how do I carry this, Lord? And so we go back and conclude with the stones. So whatever mix of burdens that you are facing today, and I want to say this last thing. Our calling to partner with others in ministry is part of this pile, isn't it? So today you're asked to do your faith promise. Nobody's going to do the faith promise for you, right? We each have to give the resources that the Lord has entrusted to us, and nobody can do that for you. And this burden of doing and fulfilling the work of God, you know, it happens in the midst of all this other stuff that we carry as well. And there's some kind of mystery in that, right? The burdens of this world that are intermingled with the burden that God has called us to intersect. And actually, the burden that we are bearing is to help to relieve the burdens of this world. And so, as we assume our responsibility in all these things and do our part that God has asked us to do, we're not passive, we're active, and we bear one another's burdens, and we cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. And so with our sin, we do that. And with our sicknesses, we do that. And with our interpersonal relationship conflicts, we do that. And with our nation and the upcoming election, we do that. And with our burden for the Church of Jesus Christ, that we would be true in a world of need, that we would not be corrupted, we would represent the kingdom well, we do that. And our world, our painful world, who's groaning, we bear the burden the way the Lord has asked us to do, doing our part, bearing one another's burdens, doing it together, partnering together, casting our cares on the Lord. So thank you, Freedom Hill, for bearing my burden, for coming alongside and bearing the burdens of your partners, and for together we cast our burdens on the Lord, knowing that he is our ultimate burden bearer. What do you do with a burden? Do what God's asked you to do. Look around and help carry the too heavy load of your brothers and sisters. And together, we cast our burdens on the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. Amen.